You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Shop the biggest selection of apparel and merchandise at the Cleveland Browns Team Shop. Visit the Team Shop in downtown Cleveland at First Energy Stadium, open 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Wednesday through Sunday, or shop online on the Browns mobile app or at shop.clevelandbrowns.com. Joining us now, back from his Sochi soiree, the great Tom Withers from the Associated Press. Tom, before we get into any Brown stuff, which there is stuff to get into, tell us about your time in Sochi. I liked all the selfies. You're on the luge track. I liked everything you were doing over there.
Thank you. I'm not sure I would call it a soiree, but it was it was interesting. Yeah, it was quite a February for me. It was everything you could imagine. I mean, exhilarating, exhausting, grueling, eye-opening, confusing, frustrating, you name it. So, yeah, quite an experience, and I am just so glad, though, to be back in Cleveland, Ohio.
How many Olympics was that for you to cover?
That was number 9.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, so I've been really lucky, and I've never taken one for granted, and each one of them has its own unique flavor and character, and this one certainly had more than its share. But again, it was I didn't want to come across like many of my colleagues and whine about accommodations, since after all I'm being paid to travel to the other side of the world.
Yeah,
to cover
it's a
great event. So it was it had some challenges, though. I'll be honest with you guys, they were not ready. And I'm still not sure if my hotel is ever going to be ready.
All right, give us one story. Give us something. Give us an anecdote that defined your trip.
Well, there were a lot of them. I'll just give you from the beginning. Arriving in Sochi after a very long day of travel, and I still have, by the way, guys, I have still not seen a single snap of the Super Bowl, and apparently from what I've been told, I'm the lucky one.
You didn't miss anything. So, that's right.
Yeah. So I was actually traveling on that February 1st and 2nd, arrived in Sochi, just exhausted, got to the media bus that's supposed to transport me from the coastal area up into the mountains where I'm staying, and this was my first taste of the stray dogs that we had heard about. There were three stray dogs waiting at the bus stop with me for my bus. So that was interesting to begin with, and then people had no idea where my hotel was. We drove around for more than 2.5 hours trying to find my hotel up in the mountains. Finally arrived, got to the room. There was no power in the room, so things got off to a little bit of a scrambling start. But, once you get your feet underneath you and can kind of get into a little bit of a flow and the competition begins, and I know you guys have been around some Olympians over the years, and I tell you what, when you're around people that have strived their entire lives in a particular sport, and these are highly motivated, driven, successful, intelligent people, it's actually quite inspiring to be around them. So, like I said, I had a wonderful time, all things considered, and glad to be back home.
Tom, one last thing, because you on the Olympics, as you said, this is your ninth. Those previous ones, volunteers are like the key to allowing the visitors and especially visiting journalists to kind of get to where they need to go with venues. As we both know, I studied a little Russian, but as we both know, the word volunteer actually isn't even in the vocabulary. The Russian, it's not a word Russians deal with or
right.
talk about, right? So
that's
how
exactly
did that work out?
Well, it's funny you say that, Vic. Over the first week or so, you could really, and again, from my experience at the Olympics, volunteers are essential in helping you find, make sure you're getting on the right bus or bringing over the results of the first two runs of men's skeleton or whatever. And, the volunteers are always continually buzzing around the room. So we noticed after the first week that the volunteers were like sitting around watching the television and not doing anything, showing absolutely no initiative at all. And that's when I found out, Vic, what you just talked about is that the word volunteer does not exist in their language. They do not know what it means to help. That doesn't mean, though, that if I asked you for your help, they would give it to you, but they aren't going to just, reach out and show initiative and be kind of that helping hand just to be a helping hand. So, yeah, that was a little bit interesting. But, by and large, most of them had a smile on their faces. And when they realized that you did need their help, they were willing to give it to you.
Tom, certainly glad to have you back. I'm sure
Thank you.
It probably seemed like a very long journey.
It was.
While you've been gone, DeQuell Jackson has been released by the Browns, and yesterday the Browns placed the transition tag on Alex Mack. Probably the two biggest stories as it relates to this team. Your thoughts on those two big moves?
Yeah, you know, really sad to see DeQuell go from both a personal and professional level. There's been very few athletes I've covered over the years in any sport who were as, number one, as engaging as DeQuell, as insightful, overcame as many obstacles in terms of injuries, and just a true team leader. And I think anybody who was around the Browns over the last, I guess it was 8 years with DeQuell, came to really appreciate him, not only as a player, but as a person and a terrific guy. Those are going to be big shoes to fill. And I don't know how you do that exactly. I think you have to hope that some of the younger guys that are on the team now can kind of grow into that leadership role. But yeah, that was a blow. And then, yesterday the old transition tag, which a lot of us were not very familiar with, we knew about the franchise tag with Phil Dawson being slapped with that for a couple of years. And, over the last 24 hours, I've kind of gone back and forth on what this really means in terms of who gained a little more leverage. And I think it's almost a stalemate, and I can see why the Browns would do this. Obviously, you lock in a pretty good player for probably a couple of years. This also allows you to, get a sense of what maybe the market should be for Alex Mack if teams are now going to come forward and offer him a long-term deal. And, obviously the hope is, though, before you even get to that point between now and a week from today, you're able to lock him into a long-term deal. So I just found it interesting that they would use that. I can understand why. It saves them a little bit of money in terms of the franchise tag, I think, being $1.5 million more. I think the bigger question now, though, is how badly does Alex Mack want to stay here? And interestingly enough, last night a few of us were out at the auto show to meet with Coach Pettine, who said that, a whole crew of, him and several other Browns assistants went out to California on the weekend to meet with Alex Mack and kind of show them what they're all about and kind of lay out the program for him. So I think that was a good step. And in my discussions with Alex towards the end of the year, I genuinely do think he wanted to come back, before the Chudzinski firing happened. He's been through a lot here. I did the math yesterday. The Browns are 23-57. In the 5 years that Alex has been here, and he's now on his fourth head coach. So you can understand if he's maybe a little bit dismayed with the direction of the program. So I think that's what we need to find out over the next few days is how willing is Alex Mack to stay around here.
What do you think about the direction of the program? By the way, Tom Withers from the Associated Press, our guest here on CBD. The direction of the program also took a major change while you were in Russia with the firing of Joe Banner as CEO, Michael Lombardi as GM. How do you see the change becoming or making this team more palatable to the Alex Macks of the world, if in fact that's a factor?
Yeah, well, I'm sure that rocked you guys like it did me. I think I was in the middle of getting back from like some bobsled training and sat down in front of my computer, and suddenly that email popped up, which was, I guess, middle of the afternoon for me and early in the morning for you guys. So that was a bit of a shocker. So, from the outside, let's be honest, you guys, and we've talked about this a lot, from the outside, it's not a pretty picture. It's still, the look of instability, and, you hear the word dysfunction kicked around, and you just have to hope that things are going to settle down. And I think, probably some of that got done by Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine at the Combine. And just in them putting out their, putting the word out around the league that, hey, we're the ones in charge here now. Things have settled down. Trying to assure people that, we've undergone some more turbulence here, but the waters are calming a little bit. And, you have to hope that they've been able to reach out to agents and to players and to get the word out that, hey, we've got money to spend. We've got a young core of talent. We do feel we're on the rise. Don't necessarily look at the record and say, oh, my God, the Browns are still the Browns. Because as the three of us have talked about numerous times, I still feel like this team is on the uptick. I still feel like there is enough talent here to build around. Sure, are there still some pretty big holes on both sides? Yeah, but, with $55 million under the salary cap and with as many picks as they have right now in their cachet, you got to feel like things are going in the right direction.
Tom, right now, if you're looking at it with obviously Mack being tagged, Ward not, obviously you want to keep him playing at a high level, homegrown talent. Ward. We've also heard a lot of talk about Jarius Byrd, the safety from Buffalo. How do you see that position playing out? Will it be one of these high-priced free agents or keeping Ward going for Byrd, or do you see the team maybe addressing that position via the draft or with a lower-priced guy?
You know, that's a really interesting one. You know, Mike Pettine last night did not rule out them re-signing T.J. Ward. I mean, he didn't say it in those terms, but he basically said, hey, you know, don't read too deeply into what happened yesterday. So, you know, you would have to hope that they're going to make at least some kind of a run at T.J. I think T.J. showed last year he can play at a very high level. I think there's also, you know, there's also the Joe Hayden-T.J. Ward combination that I don't think can be overlooked. And I think if you want to keep Joe Hayden happy, and I think we all do, you know, maybe that comes with keeping T.J. Ward around as well. And not only that, it's just the idea of keeping your best players. I mean, we've seen the successful teams over the past, you guys, and that's the teams that spend the money to keep the guys that they know they can believe in. But once again, we do have the dynamic of, you know, a bit of a change, you know, obviously a major change in the coaching staff and a more than a tweak in the front office. So, you know, I don't know how this coaching staff necessarily feels about T.J. Ward. Obviously, Jarius Byrd in Buffalo and Mike Pettine have a relationship, so there's something there. And, you know, he's a different kind of a player than T.J. Ward. He's not necessarily the big hitter. He's more of the ball-hawking safety. So, yeah, I think that's going to be an interesting to watch in the first, absolutely in the first few days of free agency.
Yeah, I think it is as well, and we're going to see how it all plays out. Tom, tremendous stuff. Appreciate you taking the time to join us, and we look forward to visiting with you again. And are you back? Are you acclimated? Is your body clock working the way it should now, or what?
No, not quite. I still go through kind of that. I think anybody who's traveled internationally can appreciate it. You kind of go through these waves of energy followed by just an absolute crash. So I'm fighting through it, and it's good to be back talking football with you guys again.
It's good to have you back. And it's got to be odd leaving the Winter Olympics and coming back to a place that's much colder than the Winter Olympics were.
Yeah, I joked about that during it, but the Cleveland needs to put its bid in. My goodness.
We need to build some mountains.
I went from a week ago today. I was actually down in the Sochi area, which was an entirely different experience for those of us up in the mountains. I mean, I was walking on a beach last week on the Black Sea, and it was 65 degrees and sunny. And then you head back up in the mountains to where I was, where it was in the 20s or the 30s. But then you come back here home where it's single digits again, and we're supposedly in March. I'm not so sure I believe the calendar anymore.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. We're trying to figure it out ourselves. All right, Tom, great. We'll talk soon, my friend.
Sounds good. Thanks again, guys.
All right. Thanks.
Tom Withers from the Associated Press joining us for his thoughts. We're going to hear from the president of the Browns, Alex Shiner, in about a half hour or so from now, 20 minutes. He'll break down the fact that the Browns are not increasing ticket prices and are having some robust sales when it comes to season tickets. So big opportunity to break that down with the president of the Browns, and we'll get caught up from him on some of the business side of what's going on in the business season, as we call it, in the National Football League. That's ahead. We're also going to hear from the play-by-play voice of the University at Buffalo Bulls football team to talk about Khalil Mack as part of the UB Pro Day that was there held there today at their Amherst, New York campus with Mike Pettine, the head coach of the Browns, in attendance. All of that ahead, and your calls, 216-578-0850 on CBD.